thanks in our Savior's name. Ray, if you'd like to come up, please. And, tell us a little bit about himself as well as you're here. So,
sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Hope you can hear me here. I'm used to just booming my voice out, not speaking with one of these things, so if I get too loud, you'll have to turn me down there. It's my privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for inviting us, and we've got a tour around here in Nanaimo. We're from Surrey, so we got a tour around here, and it's beautiful to see. Yesterday was a beautiful day, and so we were glad to see the beauty of God's creation, and it's truly amazing. We have so much to be thankful for. You can pray for us. We live in Surrey, and as you hear, there's so many shootings in Surrey going on, and it's very sad when you see what goes on there and how these young people have gotten caught up in Satan's lies and the lives that they're living there, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be a testimony everywhere we go. Just a little bit about myself here and Ruth. We've been married 28 years this summer. We've got three daughters, 25, 22, or 23 tomorrow, and 19, and we're very thankful for our daughters, and people say, how are they doing? Well, they're doing great, but they keep us on our knees. There's always a need to be praying for something here, so anyways, we're very thankful for the Lord's blessing. I worked for 32 years in heavy manufacturing. I'm a machinist by trade, and was involved with Lighthouse Harbor Ministries in Vancouver, on the board and volunteering in the center for a number of years, and always wanted to be more involved. Always, my favorite meetings were always missionary reports, you know, hearing what the Lord is doing, and that was always the most encouraging to me. And always wanted to be more involved, and thought it would be exciting to do things full-time for the Lord. And God had to deal with me in a very special way, because just my temperament, I would never leave a job. So God closed the door on my job. And a lot of times people talk about God opening doors for them and leading them through. Well, God closed doors for me so that I would go through an open door to work with Lighthouse Harbor Ministries full time. So we've been doing that for a year and a half now, and I thank the Lord that for how he is able to use us. And it's we just praise his name. So many days when I'm coming off the ships, I thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have to share this great message, this message that is second to none, this message that is far above all other messages, and we can share it freely with the sailors. And it's just such an opportunity. And I look for other opportunities to share with other people around, and I don't find that easy. That so many times at the end of the day, I'm thinking, you know, I never really witnessed to anybody outside of the ships. And I'm going, you know, I missed opportunities. Why did I miss them? Because a lot of times I wasn't looking for them. We get busy, we got to rush into the gas station because we're late, and we got to, you know, check the oil, get the gas filled, and be gone. We don't think of witnessing to the fellow there at the gas station. And we don't think of witnessing in different places there. So anyways, it's been a pleasure for us, a privilege for us to be involved with Lighthouse, and we still continue to look for the Lord's leading and guiding us. I believe you've had Tuus Cuppers over here, and so you know him there, so we work with him, and he's been a great one to learn from. And he knows, I see him all the time following the Lord and looking for the Lord's leading and obeying him. And so this is something that we are looking to do, is to follow the Lord and obey him. First off, the words that I say this morning, I first want to say to myself. So I speak to myself first when I look at these things here. But I was just thinking about that verse in John chapter 10 and verse 10. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. When I'm talking with the sailors many times, I remind them of this verse, because I look at the religions of this world and I say, they are here to steal and destroy. The Lord Jesus Christ is here to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And I ask myself, and I ask you, are you living an abundant life? Are we living abundantly? Now, some people would tell you, some churches would tell you, that means great riches. I don't think that's what God's referring to here. Not earthly riches, heavenly riches, spiritual riches, walking with the Lord. So when I look back on my life here, and I look back even on the last year maybe, the last 5 years, I wonder how much of what I have done in the last year, 5 years, would add up to wood, hay, and stubble? Or would it be gold and silver and precious stones, as the Bible talks about? How much of what we have done would go through the fire of testing? Or how much of it would not even make it through there? All of us check our bank accounts, I'm sure, and we check, compare, and we're concerned with our financial, our earthly finances. What about our heavenly rewards? What about our heavenly finances? Do we check up on those? How are we doing that way? Those are the things that are going to go through the fire. So I want to just encourage you that way, to think about these things. And as we go through our life, we are going to have troubles. We're going to have issues. And the Bible says in John 16 and 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Yes, we are going to have tribulations. And if you haven't had tribulations, just live a little longer. They'll come along. We all have tribulations. But it depends what our focus on is, how we deal with them. If we're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go through a lot. If we're focused on this world, yes, they can weigh us down greatly. But God wants us to focus on Himself. John chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist says, "He must increase, I must decrease." If John the Baptist can say that, what should I be saying? The Lord Jesus Christ, He must increase, I must decrease. So as we look at our life, and as we want to step forward, and as we want to move forward in our walk with the Lord, He must increase, I must decrease. I heard an interesting little story there that I've been sharing with a few people. Mr. Hudson there, in China there, what's his first name? Hudson Taylor, thank you, Hudson Taylor. A missionary came, and Hudson Taylor picked him up in China there, and I guess there were some stories that Hudson Taylor did things in sometimes a unique way. And this young fella, new missionary, sat down at a table there with Mr. Taylor, and Mr. Taylor took a cup, and he filled it with water, and he filled it right to the very top. And then he took and he gave the table a good bang. And of course, what happened is the water spilled out. And he says to the young fellow here, he says, "What came out of that cup?" "Well, water." He said, "What came out of that cup is what the cup was full of." He says, in China, you are going to get lots of bangs and lots of shoves. What comes out of you is what you're full of. If you're full of yourself, that's what's going to come out of you. If you're full of the Lord, that's what's going to come out of you. That's been convicting me as I think, yes, when somebody cuts me off on the road, what comes out of me? You know, honk the horn, blast the horn, you know, think all kinds of crazy things about this driver? Or do I say, "Hey, go ahead"? I don't. too many times. But you know, the Lord wants us to walk with Him, and He wants us to be full of Him, and so that when we get bumped, and as an evidence of these things, what comes out of us is the Lord Jesus Christ, the way that He would answer and do these things. I also wanted just to share with you, you know, when I'm speaking with the sailors, one of the great things I try to do is encourage them to read the Bible. And if anything, I try to just give them a little whiff of the Bible. You know, when you come into a home and you come into your house and you got a roast going on, or you come into a restaurant, and you can just smell the food, and oh, it just makes you hungry and eager to have more. Well, if anything, that's what I try to do with the men. I try to do with the sailors, and I do with other people, Christians, to give a little whiff, a little smell, so that you have a desire to go to the Word of God. The Word of God is so exciting. I think you're studying in Acts right now. Acts is such an incredible book. It's an exciting book. And if you don't think it's exciting, open up your eyes. It's an incredible book of what happened and what the power that the Lord gives to us. I tell many of the sailors, I tell them that the Bible is like a compass. It gives us direction in our life. I tell them it's like an owner's manual. And I say to them, who writes an owner's manual? And you can see in the office, they got tons of owner's manuals there. All these owner's manuals from the ship, so they understand that. I say, who writes an owner's manual? Well, the designer and manufacturer. Because they know it better than anyone else. And when we have a problem, well, if you're a man, you try to fix things on your own. When you make it worse, then you finally go to the manual, and you dig out the manual, and then you look for it. And I tell the men, I said, the Bible tells us how to have a good life and how to have a bad life. And if you're having a bad life, how to switch and have a good life. And that's what the Bible can do for us. But I've also thought recently how the Bible is God's resume. Now, some of you, especially the younger ones, you've had to do resumes, or maybe some of you in business have had to read resumes. I ran a shop for many years, and I've looked over hundreds of resumes. And some of the resumes look great. And then you kind of dig a little deeper, make a few phone calls, and you realize that the resumes are exaggerated. They're greatly exaggerated. What's a resume for? Well, somebody writes a resume so that one person can get to know the other person quickly. And what's in a resume? Well, a resume has got your education, your goals, your experiences. It's got all these things written down. And I was thinking here, what are God's goals? Well, there's many of them, but I'm going to read one here. 1 Timothy 2 and 3 says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." That's God's desire. That's one of his goals, is that all men would come to know him as the Savior. They would come to the knowledge of the truth. So the Bible is God's resume. I was doing a daily vacation Bible school last year, and I was right after I left the Bible lesson there, I rushed to a ship that I knew was leaving, and I wanted to get on board. And as I got on board, the captain told me, he says, "I was waiting for you." And that was a good sign. And I sat down with him there, and I told him why I was late, that I had been doing a vacation Bible school and I've been teaching a lesson. And as I sat down there with him and his chief officer, and the captain was a believer, the chief officer was not, me and the captain were just sharing Bible stories back and forth. And the chief officer kept saying, "That's in the Bible?" I said, "Yeah, you got to read it." And we shared another story between us, and he goes, "That's in the Bible? Yeah, you have to read it." It's incredible, the stories that are in the Bible. When we read about creation, you have to say, wow, that God created everything from absolutely nothing. The detail that is out there. The detail, you know, I took first aid many years ago, and I knew very little about the body before, but the first aid training was very good. And I learned so much about the body, and I have to say, wow, God created all this? All the details that are in your body alone, let alone all the other animals and insects and birds and fishes, all the details that are in them. I was talking to a fisherman right down by the port, and I asked him they sometimes are selling fish out there, and I said, "When are you going to have fish again?" He says, "When the next run comes." I said, "Well, when's that? I know nothing about fishing." He said, "The fish are right now out in the harbor. They're out in the bay." And he said, "They're waiting for the next full moon or a rain." He says, "And then they'll head upriver. And that's where we're going to be catching them." God has made even fish so incredible. They have got this built-in GPS system that far outdoes any other GPS system, and God has shown them how to get home. They travel for like 1 or 2 years, and then they make their way home. And there's no signs underwater that say this way, or, you know, home is this way. No, God directs them. That's amazing in God's creation. And God has told us this story of creation. Why? So that we might know him. So we can learn about him. And then if you look and say, what about some of the other stories? You know, we look at Moses and how God delivered the children of Israel. And you know, if you would think of the Egyptians, they're chasing the Israelites after they've let them go. And where are the Israelites headed to? To a roadblock. They're coming to the river. They're coming to the Red Sea. It's a roadblock. And what are the Egyptians probably thinking? Those dummies. We're going to catch them. We got them cornered. And as they come up to the Red Sea, what does Moses do? Stand by and see the hand of God. It's not as if he had done that before. It's not as if he spoke from experience of God parting this Red Sea. But he could stand there and say, stand by and see the hand of God. You know, that's amazing. I'm impressed with his faith, how that he could just step out like that. And of course, what did the Lord do? Parts the sea. They go through. The Egyptians don't even get halfway through, and they're covered over and drown in the water. Why did God tell us this story? Just to amuse us? No. So that we might know him. So that we can trust in him. That we can put all of our trust in him. And then we get the story of Noah. Amazing story. God tells him approximately 100 years, 120 years in advance to start building an ark. What's an ark? What's a boat? Where's the water? Why now? God knew. God knew what was coming. He knew how long it would take him. Got him going well in advance. God knows the future. God protected and saved him. Why did he tell us this story? So that we can see God knows the future. God knows all these things. They're all there for us to learn and to know. David, Goliath, there he is. He's got one little undefended point. Rock goes right to it. God knows. If we looked at David and Goliath, I would be afraid to approach him. Why has he given us this? So that we can trust in him. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is the verse that I really want to emphasize to you here this morning. This verse is so well known. You all can say it, but I think we run into the danger of some of these precious verses just becoming, as I call them, wallpaper. You don't even notice them. What's the verse that's behind this screen? Good. Thank you. You know, a lot of times, things that are out there in front, obvious all the time, we don't even notice them after a while. I noticed that first thing when I came in here. Do you know the verse that's on the back wall? Well, there isn't one there, but I thought maybe some of you would look. Because, you know, we get used to things. And this is a verse that I have gotten used to. I can quote it. I can quote it quickly. But let's look and see what it really fully says here. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. Is there any situation that you can face today that God does not know about? When I ran a shop, or even in my own home, I would often catch myself saying, why am I the last to hear about this? You know, I'd tell someone to go do something in the shop. And they'd say, well, we can't. Why not? Well, the machine's broken. How long has it been broken for? For weeks. Why am I the last to hear about this? Do you think God ever says that? No. God knows everything. There's no surprises to the Lord. He's never caught by surprise. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's given us all these stories in His Word as a resume for us. Why? So that we can put our trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's what I try to do all the time. Try to reason things out myself. It doesn't make sense. I want to do it this way. Hurry up, Lord. Yes, I want to follow you, but as long as it's today, right now. These are all things that we struggle with. But He says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Can we trust God? Absolutely. And to acknowledge Him, to me, acknowledge just kind of means, you acknowledge somebody walking down the street, just nod and wave. But that's not what this refers to here. It's to know God personally and to be in fellowship with Him. And that's why it's so important to read the Word of God every day, to spend time meditating on it, dwelling upon it, thinking upon it, reading these stories to strengthen your faith so that we can trust in the Lord. The Old Testament is full of amazing stories, great stories, proving the Lord's power, the Lord's knowledge, His strength, His wisdom in all these ways. And then you get to the New Testament, and there's incredible stories again, feeding of the 5,000 with just a couple loaves and a couple fish, and gathering up more than you started with. Shows that God has power over even food. He has power over all these things. We see the Lord walking on water. And we see Peter following Him. All these things God has shown us and told us so that we can trust in Him beyond a doubt. You know, many people will say that being a Christian, well, that's just blind faith. No, it's anything but blind faith. Yes, it is faith. Anything you don't see and believe in is faith. But it is not blind faith. God has given us His resume here. He's told us all these incredible stories so that we can trust in Him. We can put all of our trust in Him. And we need to read these verses. We need to read these things and grasp hold of them and take them for what they say. Not take them out of context, but take them for what they say. So there's so many stories. The one story I love there too, Peter's in prison there. And the angel smacks him on the shoulder, wake up. And there they come to the gate. The locked gate opens before them. Amazing what the Lord can do. It's amazing what he can do for us. Now that's not to say He's going to serve us just the way we want. And that's not to say things are going to go just the way we want. And we're never going to have problems, and we're never going to have illnesses, we're never going to have sickness, and we're never going to have persecution. No, the Lord tells us we're going to. And when I read in Hebrews 11, there's amazing stuff. But then we get to the latter part of Hebrews 11, and the one that always strikes me is this. Some were sawn in two. Some people that believed in God, lived for God, they were sawn in two for their faith. So that doesn't mean that everything is going to go rosy in this world. But it's not about this world. It's about heaven. It's about God and serving Him. So this is the verse that I really just want to stress one more time here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. There's a little game we play with our young people, when we meet, have a little young people's gathering. I will take one of them, I'll ask for a volunteer. So someone volunteers. And I'll take them outside. I say, we're going to blindfold you. And we're going to rearrange the chairs inside and to be like a maze. And I'm going to lead you through them. You can trust me. I will not lead you wrong. All you have to do is follow what I say. And I will direct you. I'll tell you, forward, forward, turn more, left, right. And I will lead you through this maze. And it sounds simple, so we blindfold the person. What they don't know is we've told all the other young people to start shouting directions at them. So that we come into the auditorium and I start to direct them. And they're following along, no problem. And then the other young people start shouting, left, right, look out, stop! And pretty soon, they're not sure who to listen to. And they start listening to the wrong people. And what happens? They crash into the chairs. Meanwhile, I still keep giving them calm directions that will, if they listen to me, they'll avoid any problems. And you know, I think that is so much like our life. There is so many things being shouted at us and directed to us, and the world's values are being pounded into us. You turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, you watch the news, you look at any kind of advertisement. The world's values are being pounded at you. And we forget to listen to the still, small voice of the Word of God. And we stumble and we fall, and we say, God, where are you? God says, I was still there. You stopped listening to me. You know, if you go into the malls, it's amazing the marketing and advertisement that goes on. And it's all about the world's values. It's all about the world's priorities. We need to listen to the Word of God and follow His Word. If that blindfolded person had just followed along with what I told them to do, they wouldn't have had a problem. But when they stop listening to me and start listening to the other people who are telling them the wrong thing, they run into guaranteed problems. We need to walk with the Lord. I just want to read also in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, about Stephen here, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then he cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. You know, this story tells me how that when we're walking with the Lord, the pains of this world, it's like we have painkillers. We don't notice these things. Stephen, even though he has all these people hating him and are about to kill him, what does he say? He's looking up, behold, he's amazed. He's focused on the Lord. And when we're focused on the Lord, it's amazing how that we can handle and endure so much more. When we start looking at ourselves, looking inside, then we notice all the aches and pains and all the problems we face. But you know, when we focus on the Lord, it's like a painkiller to a lot of these problems. I just heard the other day there from my mother-in-law. She went to 6 weeks of gospel meetings before she got saved. And I think before that, you know, 5 weeks in, 5.5 weeks in, the preachers are getting exhausted. That's a long time. You know, when she got saved, you know what they said? We can go on another 6 weeks. You know, the Lord strengthens us. The Lord encourages us, empowers us to move on. I heard about a Chinese pastor many years ago. They jailed him. And you know, it's easy for me, and I have to be careful here, it's easy to sit here and stand and say these things. This Chinese pastor, he was put to the test. He was thrown in prison. Well, that's no fun. Chinese prison. It's nothing like our prisons. And he asked, how do I get out of here? Just sign a confession. Denying the Lord. Denying that you believe all this stuff. Give me the paper. He signed it. They let him go. It convicted him. And people could hear him going down the street saying, I've denied my Lord. I've denied my Savior. And they hear him mumbling this. He went back somehow to the authorities there, asked for his paper. When they gave it to him, he ripped it up. They threw him in jail for 22 years. And at the end of 22 years, he was released. And they asked him, how was it there? He said, it was a honeymoon with the Lord. I can't imagine that. But here he was. He was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was focused on him. And the Lord can take us through. He can take us through all these things. What is the last thing on a resume? The last thing on a resume is references, typically. Who are God's references? Who are God's references? If this is his resume, now we get down to references. who are people going to call to see if this is really true? You and me. We're God's references. Many times, like I said, when I was looking over someone's reference, or someone's resume, I would call their references. And either they would back up what they said or they would deny what they said. We can speak about God's goodness. We can tell our testimonies about what God's goodness is. To people who do not know the Bible, do not know if they can trust it, they might trust us. Maybe they're our neighbor. Maybe they're our workmate. And they trust us. They know us. We have a testimony to them. We can speak of God's goodness. We can speak of his faithfulness. We can point people to this, back to the Word of God, and they can read it and learn about salvation and that they can trust in him. I pray that, my prayer has been that you would be encouraged as I look at this, to trust in the Lord. Take him at his word. Read what he says. Spend more time in his word, reading what he says, obeying what he says, and just leaving the results to him. Too many times we want to take things into our own hands, into our own controls. We need to trust the Lord. May we all do this as we go forward this week, trusting in the Lord. He is good. He is faithful. We've got the greatest message. We've got the greatest word here. We've got the greatest book, the Bible. May we spend more time reading it. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us and teaches us about your greatness, who you are, your miracles, proving that you are God and that we can put 100% trust in you. Help us to do this. Help us to listen to the still small voice. Help us to block out the world's values being yelled and shoved down our throat. Lord, may we follow your word. May we seek to do your will. May we be a reference to other people that they may come to know this great Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, bless them here, we do pray. Ask for your blessing upon all those here and those that are not here, Lord. We ask your blessing upon them also. Guard over and watch us this day. Use us for your glory, we ask. In our Savior's precious name, amen.